Good morning, family. So we're going to get started this morning with worship. And someone sent me something this week, and I hope that you'll indulge me and let me read you this. You know how big I like to read. It's entitled, "The Whole World Stopped." And it says, "The whole world stopped this morning." Do you know why? Because an 8-year-old's tank was empty. The boys had already started their school day and at their desk, and I was preparing to leave for work when I noticed my littlest standing in the bathroom, wiping his face. I paused at the door and asked if he was okay. He looked up with tears, and as they were silently dripping, and shook his head, no. When I questioned if something happened, again, he shook his head, no. So I sat on the side of the tub and pulled him onto my lap, and I told him sometimes our heart tanks feel empty and need to be refilled. He cried into my chest, and I held tight. I asked if he could feel my love filling him up. A nod and tears slowed down. I waited a minute. I said, "Has it reached your toes yet?" Hoping to get a giggle. He shook his head, no. And I said, "Okay, man, we will take as long as you need. Work doesn't matter right now. School isn't important either. This right here is the most important thing today, okay? Filling you back to the top, is that good?" A nod. "One more minute. Is your heart full of Dad's love yet?" And he says, "Yeah." I looked into his eyes and I see it shining there. And I said, "Are you full to the top?" And I can tell you're smiling. And he says, "Yeah." Y'all, you may not be 8. You may be 28. You may be 18. You may be 38. You may be 48, 58, or even elderly than that. But all of us run on empty, just like this little boy did. His weekend was so busy and so full, and his little soul was just dry. We all have to stop and take a moment to refill with the good things. Scripture, sunshine, prayer, laughter, worship, songs, friends, hugs, Jesus. Refill your empty tank, or you'll find emotions like this little boy, tears, anger, snappy words, overflowing with no reason why. Take a moment, refill. It's the most important part of your day. Today we get the opportunity to refill. Today we get the opportunity, even though we're in a group of people, we get to stand before the maker of heaven and earth. Just me and just him. Just you and just him. And we get to refill that tank, whether it be only a quarter full, half full, maybe even almost full, or not full at all. We get the opportunity. Today, this moment is the opportunity. Will you take it with me? Let's stand. Father, this morning we come before you. And Father, I know sometimes we come because we want to check it off the list. We want to say we went to church this week. But Father, today, would you just touch our hearts enough to understand? We get to stand before the Heavenly Father, the maker of all heaven and all earth. We get to stand before you, but we're your child. We're your kid. We're the one that you planned all eternity for your son to come and save. And Father, for that, we're thankful. But some of us are dry. Some of us have had that weekend where we don't feel so full anymore. Will you fill us this morning as we worship before you? We come to you with open arms, and we thank you for this opportunity. In the name of our sweet Jesus, amen.
praise him this morning. In praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love. In praise will be my song. How can I contain it? I cannot contain this love. We still praise you, oh God. Even when it's hard, we still praise you, oh God. Yeah, even when we don't feel like it, we still praise you, we still praise you. We still praise you, Lord. Oh, even after a hard week, we still praise you. We still praise you, Lord. Hey, we still praise you. We still praise you, Lord. Posture your heart towards God. Posture your heart towards God. Don't let this be just another Sunday service. Posture your heart towards God.
I'm faking, I'm sure. my God is alive. How can I keep it inside? I won't be quiet. My God is alive. How can I keep it inside? So I'm gonna praise the Lord, oh my soul.
Just how beautiful you are and how great your effect is our prize. Drawn to redemption by grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean. We're all sinking. Saying again, we are his portion. We are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean. We're all sinking. One more time. And we are his portion, and he is our prize. Drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. His grace is an ocean. We're all sinking. So heaven needs burned like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about.
I've been feeling a little disconnected this morning. And I told my love, I'm like, honey, I just feel disconnected today. And I couldn't understand, where is this disconnect coming from? And he prayed for me. Well, then the enemy starts messing with him. And it's like, so we recognize this. So if you're here today and you're feeling a little disconnected, you're not alone. Because sometimes that happens. But when I open my heart to praise, I don't feel disconnected anymore, because God is faithful to touch us. And you can make this personal, because we're singing He Loves Us, but you can sing He Loves Me. You can lay that on your heart and just know that He loves you, singing that He loves me. Oh, how He loves me, because He does. And He is faithful every day to show it.
Oh, better, it's better. It's better, it's better.
Floodgates of heaven. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let it rain, Lord, in our lives. Let it rain, Lord, in our families' lives, Lord. Let it rain, Lord, in our loved ones' lives, Lord, that don't know you. Let it rain, Lord, in our workplaces, Lord. Let it rain, Lord, where we go to school, Lord, or where we have any other activities. God, let it rain. Let your presence rain down, Lord. Let your glory rain down, Lord. Holy, Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives. Have your way in this city. Have your way in every event, Lord, that we participate in. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain. If you're just in an agreement that you want God to just do everything in your life that he wants to do, even if you're not sure what it is, even if you're not sure how you're going to accomplish it or how you're going to partner with him in it, just put your hand on your heart right now. Just put your hand on your heart right now if you're in full agreement that what you want God to do in your life. Lord, reign in our lives. Reign in our lives. Have rulership, have kingship in our lives, Lord. Be the leader of our lives, Lord. Be the one, Lord, that is leading us and guiding us and directing us, Lord, into everything that you want us to do, who you want us to be, what you want us to say, Lord. Every aspect of our lives, Lord, we surrender to you right now in Jesus' name. We surrender, Lord. We surrender, Lord, our hearts. We surrender, Lord, our minds, Lord. We surrender, Lord, our emotions, God. We surrender, Lord, every aspect of us, Lord, into your hands. And rain down, Lord. Rain down with your presence. Fill these empty, dry lands, Lord, with your presence, with your flood waters, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One more time. Let it rain. Just the voices. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Lord, rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Let it rain. Open the floodgates of heaven. Let it rain. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, team. Praise the Lord. Well, take a few minutes and greet each other. Love on each other. And we'll be back in just a few.
Good morning. Good morning. You could find your seats. We are going to do our Heart of the House declaration. We are believing for mighty things for the house of God. Amen. All right. So if you guys wouldn't mind standing with me, again, these are things that we are believing for before we even see them, right? That's the point of a declaration. It's not something that you're saying that you're seeing with your physical eyes, but it's something that you're saying in faith. And so you may be reading these and say, well, I maybe not believe that, or I don't see that, especially the one over our city. But this is something that we're declaring with faith. So as you say this, say with a new heart, a new mind, a new spirit, and let's say it in unison on three. One, two, three. I declare that God is building our church. God is calling us to the basic gospel, and He is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord, that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where His heart moves, that we will cultivate a right heart and right mind. And we declare that we are reaching Yakima one life at a time. Amen. Jesus, we just thank You so much for this house. We thank You, Lord, for what You're doing at One Life Family Worship, God, on 35th and Titan. And we just believe, Lord, that You love us. You're with us, God. Lord, we believe, God, that You're blessing every house represented here, God. And we just thank You so much for Your sweet, sweet presence, God. Even though we transitioned out of the worship part, out of the music part of the service, God, that we're still worshiping Your name, God. We're still worshiping Your presence, God, in this place. And we just thank You so mightily, Lord, for Your sweet, sweet presence. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we have a few announcements. You guys can be seated. Pre-service prayer. We're going to continue to put this in front of you guys to know it's here. It's happening 9:45 downstairs. And just feel welcome to come and join us, anybody who can. And if you can't, like I always say, even at 9:45 in your home, in your car, wherever you're coming from, just begin praying for us. Begin praying for the service. Pray for Pastor Mike. Pray for the worship team. Pray for our fellowship. God is big enough to listen to us here and listen to you in your car, just in case you guys were wondering. So go to the next slide, Caden. So this is an event. There's a couple flyers out in the foyer there if you want to grab a couple to pass out or whatever. So this is a worship night that's happening September 9th at the Yakima Convention Center. Simply Jesus, under Pastor Sonny. He's the one who funds the tent revival and all that stuff. His heart is to get the body of Christ worshiping. And this specific one is youth geared, but this is something for all of us to go to. And so this it's going to be a youth focused event. We're going to have a whole youth worship team. But this is something that I believe that every person, young and old, will be blessed by. Amen. So put it in your calendar if you can. This is a Saturday night. This gentleman, Z, he's from California, and he's going to come minister to our young people, and it's going to be a powerful night. Next one, bud. And then the women's conference. I think I've heard it enough to announce it, unless you want to announce it. Okay, so the women's conference. So this is a ladies' event that's happening in October. This is a Friday night and Saturday, and there's going to be some amazing ladies ministering to you guys. And we will be, not we, because I'm not invited, the ladies will be traveling down to Sutherland. Now, it's a bit of a drive. I know, because we just did it 2 months ago, last month. Wow. And it is a bit of a drive, but I would highly, highly suggest, ladies, that instead of just looking at it and say, no way, I'm not going to do that, that you would actually pray about it, that you would submit it before the Lord. God, do You want me to go to this? And let God make that decision for you and make the decision with God. And so right now, the early bird event, and you can register at the Father's House, int.org. It's $35, and then I think it jumps up in September to like $40, and then September 10th, yeah. And so all that stuff's online. And so I think even at the door, it's $50. And so this isn't a crazy, cost. If you need help, or if you need it to be sponsored, like, there's no shame in that. Just let us know. Never let money be a reason why you don't go to an event, especially when it's surrounded by God, because God wants you there. Right, okay. And so if you have any questions, you could talk to Pastor Nancy, and she could get you hooked up and point in the right direction. I think we'll have a sign-up sheet here coming soon. But we just want to get this in front of you guys because we want you to put in your calendar. And then the last thing is offering. We just want to thank you guys so much for pouring into this house, being a joyful giver, being a generous giver. I thank you that you put your tithes and offering into this house and keep the lights on and keep it as air conditioned and as heated as we possibly can. It's an inside joke because praise God. Thank you for giving. You can give online or in our boxes here in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor Michael.
Amen. So you've already seen the slide. I need to put like a dark slide ahead of it so that I expose what's already. Oh, there you go. Thank you. But the problem is I can't switch it back. So, reigning in life. What does that mean? Get it back here in a second. Reigning in life. Well, this idea for me was kind of like concealed or hidden, I would say, this scripture that we're going to go to. I have been memorizing scriptures, and one of the chapters that I'm working on now is chapter 5 of Romans, which Romans is an amazing book. Ephesians is an amazing book. All of the New Testament is good. And as I've said to many people, if you start committing the word in your heart where you're memorizing it, and you're getting it to where it's like it's just there and it speaks to you, that's what it does. It speaks to you. It causes changes in our lives. It causes us to as it says that it's living and active, the word is, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can actually ask us what our intentions are. And check our intentions, the thoughts and intents of our heart. It can divide very, very deep into our being where we don't even know things exist. It relates to it to bone and marrow. And so as I was going through this part of Romans chapter 5, I came across this parts of verses, and I've read them many times. It almost feels stupid when you come across something that's been there forever and it's like, where was this? Where have you been all my life? Well, it's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit reveals things to you as you're ready to receive them or as he wants to do something in your life. And so I started, memorizing this part of the scriptures first. And as I was, it just kept like speaking to me. And so I'm hoping today it will speak to you. And I don't think this is going to be just one message. I think there's too many facets to it to really do it justice with one message. So this is really going to be the introduction. This is going to be one of those where I kind of just unpack the verse using other translations and whatever the Holy Spirit gives me. So we're going to be talking about reigning in life. And yes, that's a crown on you or on your life. So let's go ahead and take a look at the scripture. Oops, wrong. Hello? Oh, hang on. I realize what's going on now. You have to cue this up a certain way. And it's not working. Never mind. You think it's going to go simple, and then it doesn't. I have lots of technology to go bad. Anybody else relate? Seems like the more technology you use, the more opportunities you have for problems. And that's what we're experiencing a little bit here. And I think it was operator error, just so you guys know. We're back. Okay. Could someone bring me the table? Probably be good if I had it. That way I can use my hands. When I walk around, I have to use my hands, and it's going to be like flailing the iPad around. All right, let's read this verse. This is Romans 14 and verse 17. Now, there are some really good verses in between there. 15, 16 are really good. But I really wanted to focus on these two to kind of lay down the groundwork for the first part of verse 17. So verse 14 says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come." What is that saying? It's saying that even though all of the things that were previously talked about, and that's the idea of Jesus being the one who redeems us and buys us back, but before Jesus came, death reigned from Adam to Moses. So death was in control of them. Death had control over their lives. Death was man's lot in life. That, you know, you're going to be born, and then the other thing is you're going to die. You know, what do they always say? The two things that are assured of life is death and taxes. For those of us who are over 18 and are paying taxes, death and taxes are part of it. But the idea that death was reigning over from Adam to Moses. And so why is Moses interesting? Because Moses is when the law came. And so even though there was no law and the law was not enforced at that time, still death was reigning. Because remember, what did God tell Adam when he was going to get the instructions from and for the garden? He said, you know, if you eat of this fruit, you're going to die. And so they ate the fruit and they died. But not just him, all of mankind was under that lot of death. But verse 17 says, "For if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So if through one man's offense, keep in mind, that was Adam. He was the one man. Now, we have all offended. We've all sinned. But Adam was like the starting gate. He was like the one. It says in another place that he was a type of him who was to come. That's being Jesus. Adam was a type. And just as under Adam all died, under Christ all live. But we don't just live, we reign in life. Now, that when I was like meditating on this, reign in life. I mean, that word reign, I think that means like kingship. And I looked it up in the Greek. That's exactly what it means. It means to be a king. Now, this doesn't mean to be a king that you're sitting on your throne and you're snubbing your noses at the peasants. That's not the kind of reign that this is. This is the kind of reigning where you rule your life. You rule, I believe, your physical man. Your physical man doesn't have authority over you. Your physical man can't just, you know, grab you by the nose and pull you over here. You're reigning in life. You have authority. Isn't that good news? That's good news. Kind of goes along with, I think it was a couple weeks ago, that I preached on being seated in heavenly places. Another scripture that talks about authority. So here it is in another form, in another place in the Word. So let's go ahead and break this down a little bit. The Williams translation says this: "For if by one man's offense death reigned through that one, to a much greater degree will those who continue to receive the overflow of his unmerited favor," that's another word for grace, "and his gift of right standing with himself," that's being Christ, reign in real life through the one Jesus Christ. So what I wanted to focus on here, this part, is that for those who continue to receive, see, that's a key, continuing to receive. I mean, when we first get saved, we receive what? The gift of Christ. We receive salvation. We receive whatever at that time we're able to capable to understand. For me, it was just like, oh man, I received like a new lease on life. For me, it's like all of a sudden life made sense. All of a sudden, you know, all of the questions that I was having about, you know, is there really any purpose for life, all of a sudden started having meaning. But over the years, I started learning more and more about Christ. You know, that happens as you read the Word, as you hear teachings, as you walk through this life of faith, things start getting imparted to you. So, and we receive things. But what this is talking about the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God. The grace of God is, I was explaining it to somebody the other day, it's a supernatural power to do something that you could not do on your own. It's God's supernatural power that he gives us to do something that we can't do on our own. When people say, well, Pastor, I just can't do this, you know, and I'm giving him instruction. I can't do that. I said, you're right, you can't. And it's like you kind of disarm them when you say that. But the point is, it's like we can't do this on our own. We can't walk a life with God on our own. We need God to help us. We need God to guide us. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit, so that we're not on our own. That's why Jesus was so emphatic when he told his disciples, I'm not going to ever leave you or forsake you. But then he goes. What do you mean you went? I thought you said you weren't going to leave us, forsake us. You just left us standing on this mountain, and we looked up, and you said you'd come back again someday, but it looks like you left. He says, no, it's better for you that I go away, because I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And so who is the Holy Spirit? We've taught about this before. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And so just as they had Jesus, when they were able to meet with him, you know, around a fire, or meet with him in the corner of the house and talk with him about what's going on in their life, when the Holy Spirit came, we still have that capability of talking to Jesus, because Holy Spirit is just like we have Jesus. But that's not all we receive with Jesus. We receive his supernatural empowerment. We receive grace. But we have to continue to receive grace. I guess this is one of those scriptures that if you do this and you do this, then you're going to get these results. But if you don't do that, if you don't continue to receive grace, then you're not going to reign in life. And what does it mean when we're not continuing to receive grace? It means that we're ignoring what God has done. We're starting to do things on our own. We're starting to say, you know what? I think I've got this Christian walk figured out. It's been a while that I've been walking, so I should have it figured out by now, God. So I'm just going to kind of, you know, just go into cruise control for a bit and start letting, you know, this all this stuff that I've received for so long, be that what guides me, be that what leads me. Well, that's not bad. But if you're not continually receiving the daily dose of grace that we're to have, did you know that tomorrow you're going to need another dose of grace for tomorrow? Yeah, so good. The grace that you walked in today into church was a grace for today. It's like his mercies are new every morning. But that same grace maybe isn't going to take you into what's going to happen tomorrow. We need a grace for tomorrow. And so what does that mean? We need to continue to receive grace. That means we have to be expectantly watching what God's going to do in our lives and what we need him to do in our lives and have need for him to do stuff in our lives. You know, as Americans, we are like called the self-made country. You know, we have this expression, self-made millionaires. People come from other countries, and they're able to come to the United States, and they're able to work hard and save money, and they're able to transform their family's lives. And they say it was self-made. And the problem is that self-made attitude creeps into the body of Christ, that we're self-made, that we can do this. Well, yeah, we can do it with God. We can do it with his supernatural empowerment, with his grace. But if we're trying to do it on our own, folks, that's when our limitations are going to be very, very evident. That our own abilities are going to end. And what is going to happen? We're going to fall flat on our face. Anybody ever done that? We need to receive his grace on a continual basis. Let's go to the other verse. For if by the offense of the one man, this is the CLV, this is the same verse, different translations. For if by the offense of the one man, death reigns through the one, much rather those obtaining the superabundance of grace. I love that. That's why I got that verse. That's what that word means in the Greek, superabundance. Not just abundance, a superabundance, an overflowing.
What's it say there? Those obtaining. See, when we receive, like if I'm handing someone here this cup, Eric, you're going to receive this cup, okay? And see what Eric's doing? He's got his hand out. He's not getting a handout, but he's got his hand out. He's getting ready to receive. He's going to obtain this cup from me. Now, he doesn't want it because I've been drinking out of it, but he's going to obtain this cup from me by receiving. It's an action. You know, if I was to walk up to Gay and say, honey, can you give me some money, and I just keep my arms down, and she puts like a $100 bill in my face and says, here's $100, and I never pick my arms up to receive it. Well, she might stuff it in my pocket, but I'm not obtaining it. I'm not really receiving it from her. Receiving it requires an action. And if we want to obtain or receive with this action a superabundance of grace, it has to be a continual basis. That's why Jesus said so clearly, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? He was quoting something. But he's talking about daily. We can't live on the word that we received 20 years ago. We can't live on the word that we received yesterday necessarily. We need to have a vibrant, active, continual receiving life in God. And remember, when we do that first step, we're going to be reigning in life. I know a lot of you look at me, reigning in life. I know it's hard to think of having kingship over our life, because so many of us are used to the enemy just pulling us around by the nose or kicking us on the ground or tripping us or whatever word you want to use. It seems like a lot of times that he has a lot of power in our lives, but he's not supposed to. Our life is supposed to be ruled by the spiritual man that we can become. It says we will reign in life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're doing it on our own again. We're doing it from the abundance of his grace. We're doing it from the superabundance of his grace. That's how we're reigning in life. At least that's one of the steps. Let's go and look at another verse here. Again, Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through the one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness. So it's another step. So we're receiving an abundance of grace, a superabundance of grace, but now we're also receiving what's called the free gift of righteousness. So what does this mean? It means that we don't have right standing with God by anything that we do. Well, weren't you just telling me to do a whole bunch of stuff, Pastor? Yeah, I was. That's in response to wanting to walk with God. But it's not making you right with God. So many people get this backwards sometimes. They start receiving the grace of God, and they start walking with God. And like I said, we start doing things on our own. And so we start standing in our own works, our own righteousness. And that's when we start looking at other people and say, well, you're just not measuring up. Because you're not living like I'm living. Because, you know, I'm living more righteous than you. You might be living maybe a little more sanctified, but no more righteous. I'm telling you here, nobody is more righteous in this room than one other person. Nobody. Well, Pastor, I mean, you've been walking with the Lord. You're preaching. You must have some more righteousness. Nope. I have the same amount of righteousness as you. Because it's a free gift, and we all get the same amount. Nobody gets, like, to be more righteous than anybody else, except Jesus. He is the righteous one. But you know what? He gives us that same righteousness. That doesn't make sense, does it? That the most righteous being in the world gives us that same righteousness freely. We can't earn it, but we have to receive it. Again, it's a gift. If it is a gift, what do we have to do? We have to receive it. But we don't just receive it one time when we get saved. Yes, Pastor, I received Jesus' righteousness when I said, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm a sinner. Help me to be more like you. And then we walk on and we say, I've received the righteousness. No, it's something we have to continue to maintain. We have to remind ourselves that we're righteous in Christ Jesus. Even when we make errors, even when we sin, even when we're not behaving up to God's standards, we have to say, you know what? I'm still righteous in God, even though my behavior shows different. Like I like to say, my behavior is an illusion. The righteousness that he's given me is what the truth is. That's the eternal truth, that I'm righteous in God through Christ Jesus. Romans 5:17, the CLV, for if by the offense of the one, death reigns through the one, much rather those obtaining the superabundance of grace, there's that word again, and the gratuity of righteousness. Gratuity. Everybody probably either likes this word or hates this word. We have a name for it in the United States called tip. Is anybody getting tired of every single time you use your card, you got like the tip screen that comes up? I'm not even doing anything that requires a tip. And it's like you feel like I got to give something. Eric doesn't. So if you want lessons on how to say no, go ahead and talk to him. But gratuity, it's a gift that you're given, right? We're not being forced, unless you're eight parties or more and you go to Olive Garden or something like that, then everybody's going to pay the gratuity. But the point being, it should be a free gift. That's what's being given to us. The gratuity of God's righteousness is given to us. So let's go back to this. We're talking about reigning in life. We're talking about not having the enemy trash us all the time. We're talking about not where sin has control of our mortal bodies, where we are in rulership of what we do and what we say. We're not just being... where the devil made me do it. We're not living that kind of life. We're living a life where you are the one that can do things through Christ that overcomes the enemy. I like this expression. If you think about, how many know that it says that all things were put under his feet in Ephesians 1? You guys know that? Under his feet. Okay. Under Jesus' feet. Everybody can say that. Yes, all things. So does that mean the enemy's under his feet? Yeah. Does that mean sin's under his feet? Does that mean death's under his feet? Yeah. Does that mean sickness is under his feet? Yeah. Does that mean that all kinds of different attacks against us, depression, anger, all of those things, they're under his feet, aren't they? Where are we? What are we called? Who are we? We're the body of Christ, right? So no matter what part of the body we are, say we're the big toe, because he's the head. We're his body. It's very clear. We are his body. So if we're his body, then where are all those things? They're under our feet. Not because they're under our feet because we're something special. They're under our feet because we're part of the body of Christ. So if we're saying that those things are under our feet, everything that's coming against us is already under our feet if we would walk in Christ. Again, not in a prideful way. That's not going to last very long. In a humility type of way, a way that is relying and depending on God 100% for every single day that you live. Then those things are under your feet and you are reigning in life. You know, you're thinking, well, Pastor, if you're saying I'm reigning in life, does that mean I'm not going to have any problems? Nope. I'm not saying that at all. Are you saying that I'm never going to be tempted by the devil? Nope, not saying that. Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. But what I am saying is, when those things do happen to you, when problems do come in your life, you'll reign over them. Because you will be walking and living in the peace of God. You'll be walking and living in the contentment of God. Because that's reigning. You know, how many have heard of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, self-control. That's all about reigning. That's all about having authority over this being that you are. Amen? All right. This is the amplified version. The C plus means it's the classic version, and it's the plus means it has notes, but this particular one doesn't necessarily have a note, but it's broken out into ways that we can kind of, again, revisit some of the things we've already talked about. For if because of one man's trespass, lapse, or offense, death reigned through that one, much more surely will those who receive God's overflowing grace, unmerited favor, and the free gift, there's the free gift again, of righteousness, putting them into right standing with himself, that's God, that's Jesus. They reign as kings in life through the one man, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. Reign as kings in life. That sounds pretty ostentatious, doesn't it? Pretty out there. Pretty over the top. Reign as kings. Here's another translation where that's emphasized. This is the CEV. Death ruled like a king because Adam had sinned. But that cannot compare with what Jesus has done. God has been so kind to us and has accepted us because of Jesus. And so we will live and rule like kings. That's a translation. That's really what that word reign means. We're going to live like kings. Now, the thing is if you're looking at earthly kings and you're putting your mindset like, you know, King Charles or some other king over there, they don't always act righteous. They don't always do things the right way because they have their, you know, they have their rulership, but they're not necessarily always doing things in accordance with the rules of God. But King Jesus, on the other hand, does only what he sees the Father doing. He is not doing things that harm or hurt us. He is not ruling us in such a way that we feel like we're his underlings. He's ruling in such a way that he lifts us up to be more like him. He's ruling in such a way that he takes his crown and says, "Son, you now live as a king. You now live with the same authority that I have." Again, all through the work of the cross. You know that crown of thorns? I mean, you think about it. They put a crown of thorns on him to mock him for his kingship. And he says, "Yeah, as you put this crown of thorns on me, mankind will now be able to wear a crown of glory." Yeah, just think about that. You know, it's just like his stripes, his beatings. Yes, every, you know, I know he was in pain, but I bet he was saying, "Yes, mankind is being redeemed. Sickness is being destroyed. Life is overcoming death." Every time they were doing stuff to him, he knew it. Didn't mean that it wasn't, you know, a hard thing to walk through. It was. But he knew. It says, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." He saw something that was coming, and it was us being redeemed. It was us being able to rule and reign in our lives in him through his victory that he accomplished. "For if because of the one offense, of the offense of one, death reigned, all the more those who receive an abundance of favor and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by the agency of the one, Yeshua, the Messiah." This is that word "through," by the agency. What does that mean? Well, an agent is someone that has the power to do something for you. It's like a real estate agent. They represent you and they have the power to help you sell your house. They're like a representative. Jesus, through his agency, made us so that we could reign in life. Through what he did on the cross, and then us connecting with that, us identifying with the cross and remembering that we were crucified with him, remember? If he died, we died. He died, we died. You got to remember that. That's why we can reign. It's because it's not us, it's him in us. Because the Mike Lindell that was before the cross, before Christ, died with Christ on the cross. So then what was replaced is the godness that he wants me to be. The godness that he wants me to have. His character, his nature. Again, the fruit of the Spirit is just a beginning of it. I don't think I'm going to go there. So this is one verse. I know you guys are saying, okay, Pastor Mike, this is one verse. We really need to hear this from someplace else. I know you've really, you know, kind of broken this out and stuff. But I mean, is this really true? Are we to rule and are we to have this kind of life where we have authority and everything? Well, I think this verse here in John 10:10 kind of helps explain it. John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That they may have life. It's the same life word that's used back in Romans 5:17. It's a life, not just eternal, it's our physical life. And Jesus is not like the thief who wanted to steal, kill and destroy. He was the life giver and he came to give us life, but life more abundantly. I would call that life in rulership, or ruling life, or reigning in life, having authority over our own destiny of what we do. Not destiny of what we're going to do in the future, but destiny of what we choose to do at this moment. When someone interacts with us in a bad way, instead of just, you know, letting old man show up, as we've talked about before, no, we remember that we can rule and reign in that moment in Christ. That we don't have to respond with a sin nature. We can respond in a God nature. You're like, how do I do that? Well, again, you got to go back to that very beginning. You have to continue to receive his abundance of grace. I mean, we all want to get to the place where we're reigning in life, but it requires previous things to be done. We have to continue to receive that supernatural empowerment. That's how come we can say, no, I'm not going to tell you off like I should in my flesh. I'm going to try to love you as God loves you. I'm going to try to be kind to you because God's kind to me. Right? Then the message says it this way. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life. More and better life than they ever dreamed of. Better life than we ever dreamed of. I see and hear on a regular basis of a lot of individuals who are having situations in their life that are some of their own doing, some just because of circumstances. But it's like those circumstances, those situations are ruling them. It's like it's captivated their heart. It's like it's become their drive and their focus. And that's not the way it has to be. If we're receiving his abundance of grace, his superabundance of grace, and if we're receiving the gift of righteousness, we have rulership over those things. We have rulership over the works of the enemy. He is under our feet if we're in Christ. Now, if we're out on our own, doing our own thing and just following, you know, out in the wilderness, then that's not functioning properly. He's not under our feet. He can lead us around by the nose. You know, it says to be like trying to think of the word in Peter. Well, it's like you're looking cautiously
and you're watching out there. You're not just living life just without a care in the world. We're to be careful. One of the words that's used is walk circumspectly. That means walk carefully, seeing where your steps are. You're not just running blindly, because the enemy is out there like a roaring lion, and he wants to devour us. But if we're in Christ, we're receiving his abundance of grace, his superabundance, and we're staying in his righteousness, not our own righteousness, then we can reign in life victorious. We can agree with that scripture when it says that we're more than overcomers. Not just overcomers, more than overcomers. Got some music? This is one of those, again, there's lots of messages that I continue to give that are hard to relate to because they're ethereal. They require us to connect with the supernatural. What? By faith. You have to believe it by faith. You have to say, Lord, you've said it. I've read it. You've said it. I'm going to believe it. Even though I don't see it, maybe right now in my life, maybe right now your life doesn't look like you're ruling and reigning. Right now, maybe your life looks like it's just, you know, being thrashed by the enemy. Well, that can change. You can say, Lord, I don't care what my circumstances look like. I'm going to receive your superabundance of grace for every situation I'm dealing with right now. I'm going to choose to stand in your righteousness, not my own righteousness, not my own abilities, but yours, Lord. And you promise that I'm going to reign in life. So I'm going to watch how you're going to help me walk through these next days, weeks, years, through these situations that I'm facing right now, and rule and reign over them with the heart and the mind of God, the heart and the mind of Christ. Lord, you gave your life so that we could live. You died so that we could live. And not just live to get by, Lord, but live an abundant, more abundant life. A life greater than we could ever dream of. So, Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Trinity of God, let us just live like you've designed and desire us to live. Let the kingdom of God come alive in us. Let the purposes and the plans of God be fulfilled in our lives. Let it rain. But R-E-I-G-N. Let it rain. Let you reign in our lives, Lord, so that we can reign over our life. We surrender. We yield. And we give you all the praise and the glory, Lord, for the transformation you're going to bring. Not only in our lives, but those that we love, Lord. In Jesus' name.
wind of your spirit, and now the heartbeat of heaven, let us hear.
Our workplace, any areas, God, that we're not submitting to you, Lord, I just pray right now that we would lay it down at your feet. That we would not try to reign in those areas, God, but we would allow you to reign in those areas, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that your grace is sufficient for us every single day. Even when we don't feel like it, even when it doesn't seem like it, God, that there's a supernatural abundance that you pour out, that you equip us with. And I just pray that we would walk in that today, God. So I just release your presence, God, over every home represented here, God, over every family represented here, God, that you would just bless us, Lord, as we go about our day, as we go about our week, God, that there would not be anything, God, that we hold on to, Lord, that we would just submit all things to you, Lord. I pray for healing for those who need healing. I pray for restoration for those who need to be restored. God, I pray for financial breakthrough for those who need it. Yeah, we just thank you, Jesus, that you're giving out more and more and more. Yeah.
Father just gave me a word to say to love those that come across our path, to love our family more, and because we see things that are happening in their lives and in their families, and we don't say anything. But God says, do not fear. Do not be fearful of what they're going to say to you, because they're hurting. They're hurting, and they need each and every one of us to be bold and to say, you know, here we are. We love you so much, but we need to tell you these things, because there needs to be a break in what the enemy is trying to steal our families into other areas of our lives that they don't belong there. They belong to Christ. And so he's just saying, love on them more than ever and be bold enough to say, I love you. And for this is what I'm saying, because we love you and God loves you more. And there'd be change in the lives of our families. There'd be change in the realm of who we meet, just to have our eyes and ears open unto what we see, and know that it is the Lord that will lead you, and it is the Lord that will give you the words and the wisdom to speak those words to them.
Amen.